Charlie wasn't used to dealing with problems. He had problems, plenty of them. Holes in the roof, cracked window panes, pigeons mouldering away in the attic rooms, but he ignored them. Or perhaps was so far removed from the world that he just didn't notice them. Dilapidation was his natural environment. He felt at home in it. Still, a doctor's wife, apparently dead in the music room, was a problem he couldn't ignore. If it had been one of us. But an outsider, that was another matter. He might be stupid, but he knew what this meant. Calamity was coming. The missus sent John the Dig for the doctor, and in due course the doctor arrived, and it seemed for a while that premonitions of disaster were ill-founded, for it was found that the doctor's wife was not badly hurt at all, barely even concussed. She refused a tot of brandy, accepted tea, and after a short while was as right as rain. "It was a woman," she said, "a woman in white." "Nonsense," said the missus, at once reassuring and dismissive. "There is no woman in white in the house." Tears glittered in Mrs. Maudsley's brown eyes, but she was adamant. "Yes, a woman slightly built, there on the chaise longue. She heard the piano and rose up and..."
"Did you see her for long?" Dr. Maudsley asked.
"No, it was just for a moment."
"Well, then you see it cannot be," the missus interrupted her, and though her voice was sympathetic, it was also firm. "There is no woman in white. You must have seen a ghost."
And then for the first time, John the Dig's voice was heard.
"They do say that the house is haunted." For a moment, the assembled group looked at the broken violin abandoned on the floor and considered the lump that was forming on Mrs. Maudsley's temple. But before anyone had time to respond to the theory, Isabel appeared in the doorway. Slim and willowy, she was wearing a pale lemon dress. Her haphazard topknot was unkempt, and her eyes, though beautiful, were wild.
"Could this be the person you saw?" the doctor asked his wife.
Mrs. Maudsley measured Isabel against the picture in her mind. How many shades separate white from pale yellow? Where exactly is the borderline between slight and slim? How might a blow to the head affect a person's memory? She wavered. Then, seeing the emerald eyes and finding an exact match in her memory, decided. "Yes, this is the person." The missus and John the Dig avoided exchanging a glance. From that moment, forgetting his wife, it was Isabel the doctor attended to. He looked at her closely, kindly, with worry in the back of his eyes while he asked her question after question. When she refused to answer, he was unrattled. But when she was bothered to reply, by turns arch, impatient, nonsensical, he listened carefully, nodding as he made notes in his doctor's pad. Taking her wrist to measure her pulse, he noted with alarm the cuts and scars that marked the inside of her forearm.
"Does she do this herself?"
Reluctantly honest, the missus murmured, "Yes." And the doctor pressed his lips into a worried line.
"May I have a word with you, sir?" he asked, turning to Charlie.
Charlie looked blankly at him, but the doctor took him by the elbow. "The library, perhaps?" And led him firmly out of the room.